The cause of Sunday evening's sermon seminar, my sermon was ready Monday morning. Wow, that was kind of nice, actually. Those of you who were here are kind of knowing what's going to be coming. And I came up with this title on Sunday night, and so on Tuesday morning, I sat down and I put the letters out on the table and I got them all ready, and I went out there and I put them up on the marquee, and the next thing I knew, within about 2-3 hours, I had a phone call. Did you intend to put up on the board out in front of the church, pushing our Porsche? Yeah. Don't you mean portion? No. Isn't that misspelled? No. Pushing our Porsche, or Porsche, if you're going to be real hip. Pushing Your Porsche is the title for today's message. And, I have a friend who likes to title his sermons with strange titles that seem to have nothing to do with the passage or even the message. Sometimes they're racy titles. This one actually has a great deal to do with both the passage of Scripture that I'm preaching on today and with where we are as a congregation today. John wrote in his first letter, "By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey His commandments. For the love of God is this, that we obey His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome, for whatever is born of God conquers the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, our faith." This is the victory that conquers the world, our faith. Would you pray with me? Lord God, our Heavenly Father, move among us this day so that we, Your people, may always feel and sense Your divine power and presence. For we need to know that we are never alone. And speak to us this day in such a way that we may always hear, understand, and remember. Give us Your word by which You mold and shape our living. For we need Your word to live eternally, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You ever run out of gas? You ever run out of gas on a long, hard, arduous trip? Out in the middle of nowhere? About 40 miles from any gas station anywhere, and you're in trouble, and you know it. You ever run out of gas a mile from home and feel stupid? You ever run out of gas 25 feet from the gas station itself and have to get out of your car and set it in neutral and push yourself to the gas station to pump yourself some gas? You ever run out of gas in your life? Worse yet, have you ever tried to start a car without putting your key in the ignition? Some older cars could be started by getting them moving real fast. Have you ever pushed your car down 635 real fast? Have you ever tried to race by pushing your car? No? Some people have run out of gas. Some people have run out of gas in the middle of nowhere. Some people run out of gas trying to get home. Some people run out of gas near the station. Some people try to start their car, got lots of gas, start their car by pushing it. But nobody races by pushing their car. No one gets out on LBJ on 635 on 175 and pushes their car to go somewhere. Do they? Shake your heads no. Thank you. No one does that. What do you do when you get out, when you want to go somewhere? Let us say, after church, we want to go to Cinco de Mayo. All right? Let us say we want to go eat Mexican food, or a slim approximation of it. And we get out on 175, but instead of sitting in the driver's seat, we're out behind the car pushing it. Is that smart? No, it's not smart. To go somewhere, you get in the car, put your key in ignition, turn the engine over, get it started, put your car into gear, put your foot on the accelerator, and you go. You don't get out behind the car and push it unless you've got a problem, unless you're out of gas, unless the engine won't work. Normally, to go somewhere, you get in the car, start the engine, put the pedal to the metal, and go. At least that's what we're supposed to do. Most Christians, yes, this has something to do with the passage today. Most Christians treat their Christianity like having a fully gassed up Porsche. And instead of getting in and turning the key and putting their foot on the accelerator, they're out behind just a pushing away. Huh? Yeah. Most people's Christianity, friends, is gathering behind their car, their spiritual car, and it ain't no Porsche. Usually it's a VW Bug, a Pinto, a Rabbit, some little old worn-out car. They get behind it, and they're just pushing away really hard. And they're getting up, 5 miles an hour. And they're like, we're really going good, aren't we? Yeah, we're really doing good. Mabel, make sure you turn at the right corner. Let us know when you're going to brake. We don't want to be in the back seat. They're out there pushing away on their spiritual cars, thinking they're going somewhere fast. Most people's Christianity is not being in the car, in the spiritual car, but rather behind it, pushing with all their might, trying to get up a good head of steam, trying to get somewhere fast, pushing their spiritual car. Are you, my friends, pushing your spiritual car today? Or are you in it, turning the accelerator, the key, putting your foot on the accelerator, and going? I still see some of you scratching your head. Let's work on this again. Take a look at what the passage says. For the love of God is this, that we obey His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. I have a lot of people who tell me, I don't like the idea of having to obey God's commandments. That seems to be awfully burdensome, obeying commandments in order to show that we love God, obeying the thou shalt and the thou shalt nots in order to show that we obey God. I don't like that idea of showing our love for God through obedience. I just want to love Him, and God will know it. Usually, people think about what it means of being a Christian. The definition of a Christian is someone who does this and does this other. They go to church on Sundays. Doesn't look like we have a very good group of that today, do we? They go to church on Sundays. They give money to the church and money to the poor and money for ministry. They reach out to others and give food. They don't do a whole list of things. Usually stuff that a lot of people think is fun. In fact, some people say, I don't want to become a Christian because I'll have to give up too many fun things in order to be a Christian. Or, I don't want to be a Christian because it means I'll have to do too much. too many things that I don't want to do. In other words, they make Christianity into a bunch of things you do and a bunch of things you don't do. They make Christianity into a great big pile of works. They are viewing Christianity as if they're pushing their VW bug. Are you pushing your VW bug today? Are you trying to push your Porsche today? Are you looking at the Christian faith as a bunch of things you've got to do? Or are you looking at it as obeying the commandments of God the way the Scriptures tell us to do it? What did the Scriptures say? What did John say? And his commandments are not burdensome, for whatever is born of God conquers the world. His commandments are not burdensome because they don't flow from our own effort or will. They don't flow from our own abilities. They don't flow from our own even desires. They flow from the presence of God in us. Obedience to his commandments, showing we love him through obedience to his commandments, means allowing God to live and move through us, empowering us, strengthening us, enabling us to serve others, and through serving others, to serve him. But it's one more step than even that. And his commandments are not burdensome, for whatever is born of God conquers the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, our faith. Our faith. In other words, God's life in us empowers us to overcome the world and obey God's commandments. How? Not by works of our own will, not by doing it by our own strength and ability, not by doing it by our own desire even, but rather by doing it through the grace of God, by faith in Jesus Christ. That, my friends, is what it means to obey His commandments, the commandments of Jesus. To have faith in Him. Now, you've heard me tell and speak and preach many times on faith here. And I've brought out a chair and I've walked around it and I've tested it out to see if it'll hold my weight. And I've illustrated the fact that real faith is not about, you know, considering the chair and believing it'll hold me, but rather sitting in the chair and putting my faith into action. But today, we don't have a verb here. We have a noun, faith, pistis in Greek, which literally means the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We have victory over this world. We have victory in our Christian lives. We have indeed the power and the strength that we need to make our Christian lives go when we have faith. When the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, is present in our lives. When the substance that faith is in us. We, indeed, do not need to push our Porsche, friends. Rather than trying to do it ourselves by our own will, by our own strength, by our own understanding, with our own muscles, spiritual and otherwise, trying to push our Christian lives forward. Instead, by faith, we sit in the car, we turn the key, we put the pedal to the metal, and we go, allowing God to do the work. What's the danger of trying to push our Porsche? What's the danger of trying to do it on our own? Good illustration. Abraham and Sarah. Abraham was old. Sarah was too. Sarah was a about as old as Miss Apple. Couldn't have kids. Impossible to have kids. She not only was too old, she was barren. Could not have children. God said, you're going to have a passel of kids. Nah. She even laughed about it. And so, since God seemed to not understand that old women can't have kids, and Abraham wasn't interesting anyway, she said, here, I have a handmaid. She's young, she's pretty. Name's Hagar. Here, you take her and you have a kid and get God's will done. Since God doesn't seem to understand that old women can't have kids, here's a young one. She's pretty, she's young, she's not barren. Here, take her and have a kid with her. And she didn't have to horsewhip him and tie him up and throw him in the tent there to be with her either. Abraham did it. Took Hagar, went in the tent, and produced who? Say it. Ishmael, yes. Produced Ishmael by his own ability and Hagar's. They produced the child, a descendant for Abraham, thinking, aha, we'll get God's will done in a way that makes sense to us. We'll get God's will done in a human way, a very human way. We'll get God's will done by our own strength and our own ability, because God seems to be too stupid to know that old folk can't reproduce. What a mess that generated. If you want to see that mess, just take a look at Israel today. Take a look at Palestine today. Take a look at the fighting. Take a look at the hatred. Take a look at the bombing. Take a look at the killing. Take a look at the Middle East today, friends. If you want to see the result of Abraham and Sarah trying to push the Porsche, take a look at the Middle East. Here they were, not acting by faith, but acting by their own sight, their own ability, not by the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, but by the substance of the things that were sitting in front of them. Hagar, and the evidence of what she could produce with Abraham's help. That wasn't faith, friends. That was a horrible kind of work. They were pushing their Porsche, trying to get God's will done their own way, trying to make the car move, but their own way, by their own strength, by their own ability. What was God's way? Abraham and Sarah. Yes, indeed. Abraham and Sarah. Age means nothing to God. Barrenness means nothing to God. Sarah could have been 125 and she still could have conceived and had a son. Age was irrelevant. Abraham and Sarah and the child of promise, Isaac, wasn't the result of Abraham and Sarah doing it themselves by their own strength and ability. Isaac wasn't the result of their own physical abilities. It was the result of a miraculous intervention and their faith in accepting that God will do it God's own way, not ours. It was Isaac indeed was the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. A substance that couldn't possibly occur. A child out of two people around 100. He was a miracle. Not the result of their doing it themselves, pushing the car themselves, but the result of their faith, trusting that God would provide. So, are you pushing your Porsche today? Are you pushing your car today? Or are you living in faith and obeying God's commandments in love? Are you trying to do it yourself? Live the life that God has called you to live yourself by your own strength and ability and beating on yourself when you fail? Or Are you sitting in the driver's seat with your foot on the gas, trusting that God will make the car go? Are you living in faith, trusting in Him? There's a wonderful, wonderful bumper sticker. Saw it several years ago. Was driving from Dallas to Wichita Falls, and this car went zooming by me. Must have been doing warp 5 or 10 or something. Unbelievably fast car. And I noticed on the back of the car a bumper sticker as it moved ahead of me, and I managed to read it. It wasn't very long. It said, "Get in, sit down, shut up, and hang on." Get in, sit down, shut up, and hang on. Most of us want to push the car. Most of us want to be pushing away, trying to get it done our own way. God tells us to get in the car, sit down, zip your mouth, and hang on. Because if you act in faith, if you live in faith, if you manifest the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen in your life, if you hang on to His promises, if you reach out in faith and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you act on the promises of God and rest in the substance of faith, God will make you go. You don't need to push your Porsche, friends. There's gasoline in it, the Word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. There's turning the key and putting your foot on the accelerator, an act of faith. And there's a willingness to let God carry you. Don't do this, turn the ignition, put your foot on the accelerator, and then try not to move. If there's gas in the car and the car is working, you're going to move. My friends, are you pushing your Porsche? Are you pushing your car? Are you trying to get God's will done your own way? Or are you trusting in His promises, resting in His faith, looking for the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen in your life, and allowing God's spiritual car to carry you home? What are you doing today? Are you living by sight or by faith? That's the question we have to ask ourselves today. Are you pushing the car or are you in it? Are you trying to get it done your own way, or are you allowing God to do it His way? Trying to do it our own way only makes trouble for us. Look at Ishmael and the nightmare that has resulted from that event. Letting God do it His way is the only way that works, my friends. Don't push your Porsche. Don't push your car. Don't think you can save yourself by works. Get in the car and live in faith, knowing that God will carry you home. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.